June 6th, 2005. Item number 46.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. On today's show, our guest will be Corby from the Twisted Pickle Podcast. But before we get into the interview, a couple quick news and notes. First note, I'd like to thank Wichita Rutherford from the 5 Minutes Wichita Podcast for creating the new intro. Actually, he's created 4 for me. I'll be trying out the different ones over the next few shows. I'd love to hear your feedback. And if you're looking for a great short little podcast, I highly recommend 5 Minutes Wichita. Second, to our directory of podcast directories, we're now up to 44. Added 2 more since the last show. Added Idiot Vox, and I added Podcast Shuffle. Interesting thing on Podcast Shuffle, for you Mac users that is, they have a widget that interfaces with their directory. So you can add a widget to your widget screen and simply hit F12, go in and do a search for a podcast. Very nice feature. Excellent work, guys. Love it. Next is interesting news I think everyone's going to be curious about. I won't have this up on the site again. Previously, as you know, I mentioned about the CNET submission. And I'd like to say, hey, John out there from the M Show, congratulations on getting listed on CNET, also in the podcast directory. But this one, I think, is going to even be more interest to everybody. And that is the iTunes submission for artists. I came across the link to how you submit to be an artist on the iTunes store. My thought here, and it can be completely off base, is that in 50 days or less, when they release the new iTunes with podcast support, they're going to need some podcasters. So go now and submit yourself as an artist into the iTunes store. It takes a couple weeks to go through. I just submitted last week. All I got back was the, hey, thank you for submitting. So again, check it out. If you want to know where the link is, send an email to rob@podcast411 and put in the subject line iTunes, and I'll send you back everything I know. And finally, don't forget to visit www.podcast411.com. Our skit exchange is what I want to talk about quickly, and I want to thank Evo from the Dragon page for putting up a link to Geek Sexuality. I recommend you go over to our skit exchange and check out their skit on Geek Sexuality. Very funny. That's enough news and notes for today. We're going to go right into the interview with Corby. Here we go. Well, Corby, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I guess you can know where the first question's coming from, and what was your first computer?
The first computer I ever had was a hand-me-down from a lady that my mother worked with. It was a Tandy 1000, and as far as I know, nobody that I've heard on your show has mentioned this machine.
No, a Tandy 1000, that is a first.
Yeah, I think it was a Radio Shack. I don't know what the heck. It was something that they had built, or Tandy. I don't even think they're around any longer. But, yeah, it had no hard drive, orange and black monochrome screen, and it ran off of 5 1/4 floppy disks. And the only software that came with it was a little calendar program, Notepad, a very minuscule version of DOS, and it had a basic compiler on it. That was my first programming experience.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
It was Don and Drew. I'm an NPR junkie because I do a data entry job, so there's nothing to do but listen to radio until I discovered podcasting. And On the Media did a piece on Don and Drew, maybe December, January. I can't remember for sure, but they mentioned them, and I'm always looking for new stuff to listen to at work, so I went to the site and checked them out, downloaded their entire archive, and burned them to CD, and then spent about 2 weeks listening for 8 hours a day until I got caught up to what at that time was their present show.
Wow, that's dedication.
When you're bored typing in names and addresses for 8 hours a day, you're starved for any sort of entertainment that you can get.
Other than the obvious 138s, who are some of the other podcasts that you're listening to on a regular basis?
There's a lot, and you know, I've listened to many of your shows, and people list 2 or 3, and I've got probably 30 in my folder right now. If you'd like, I could go down the list.
No. Okay, let's put it this way. What are the last 3 or 4 podcasts you listened to?
I probably listened to about 20 today. Yeah, I'm a junkie. I'm hooked on this. It's like a little bit of a heroin addiction, yet more fun and without the vomiting. I listen to...
I don't know. I've heard a couple that would cause vomiting, but that's a different story.
I, I tend to avoid the ones that cause the vomiting. When I can, I listen to Bibb and Yaz. They do probably one a week. Today, I listen to Chuck and Adam Do Everything. They're listed in the general section on Podcast Alley. I listened to The Worst of Madge today. I thought that was pretty interesting. She went off on Condoleezza Rice for about 10 minutes, and I fell out of my chair with laughter. Let's see, I checked out Soccer Girl today. Verge of the Fringe had a new one out. Busty Buxom Redhead number 2. I always listen to the Distorted View. Man, there's so many on my list. I really hate to leave anybody out. Yeah, I check out PK and J every week. Very big fan of theirs.
We were talking earlier about Nate and Di and how Nate and Di got press credentials. And like I said, you know, giving them press credentials is like giving Michael Jackson a nurse position at an elementary school.
It is. After they interviewed the fetus, I can only imagine what they'll be able to do with press credentials.
The way they interviewed is not a good thing to do to Mike.
I suppose. You put a little plastic wrap on it, it might be okay, but any sort of secretion juice on your microphone is going to cause a little bit of distortion.
One of the questions I always ask people, and this is, normally, at this point, I would get into what your show's about, but with your show, I have to go to this question first, and that is, what does your significant other and your relatives think of your podcast? Now, before you answer, I need to play this clip from one of your promos.
Okay.
So here we go. Let's listen to this.
Greetings, everybody. It's Corby from the Twisted Pickle Show. I've been ninja casting my show for about a month now, up to 8 episodes, and the wife has no idea what I'm doing. Consequently, most of the time, I'm recording in secret. That's right. The show is so twisted, I don't even want my wife to listen. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Twisted Pickle Podcast. It's 11:32. My wife has just went to bed. She's awful sleepy. So, okay, this is obviously going to be a very strange Twisted Pickle Podcast. I'm secretly recording it.
Based on that, your wife doesn't know you podcast.
No, she doesn't. She has had suspicions that I'm doing something on the computer, but has no real idea what I'm doing. Hence the word ninja casting.
Well, she's probably thinking you're watching porn or in these bisexual chat rooms. I mean, she's going to be pretty relieved when she just finds out you're an Uber geek.
Yes, she probably will. Although I do spend plenty of time checking out the porn, too. No, but honestly, she does not know about the show, which I think for right now is probably for the best. I try to keep it a slight secret because she already thinks I'm the world's biggest dork, and anything I can do to avoid giving her extra ammunition to make fun of me, I'm all for.
Some of us are going to have to agree with your wife there on her definition of you.
Yeah, I'm a little strange sometimes, I'm sure.
Okay, now go ahead and tell our listeners about the format and what they're going to hear when they tune into your show.
Every show seems to be a little bit different. I honestly don't know what I'm going to talk about until probably the day of. Since I'm ninja casting, I have to take the opportunity to record something when it comes. So depending on the notes that I have jotted down for that particular day, that develops into the show. And I really do talk about a wide range of strange topics. Most of it's, you know, things that I've done or experiences that I've had or strange things that I've seen. But every now and again, I'll go into just a solo story, an individual story that'll take up the major meat of that particular podcast. So when you tune in, you're really not sure what you're going to get, but you can pretty much be sure that it's going to be a bit off the wall, kind of strange, sometimes a bit vulgar, but all around it's a good laugh.
It's definitely not what you would call work safe or family friendly.
No, and I kind of struggled with that initially, but I thought that, you know, there's enough people out there doing work friendly podcasts. I want to get to the people with the sick minds, the strange ones, the ones who are interested in listening to what a social misfit with all sorts of paranoia might have to say about the world that he lives in.
When did you put up your first podcast?
I think it was the middle of March. I just kind of sat down one day when I had some free time, put the Baby Einstein on for my one-year-old, and recorded it basically an I don't know what the heck I'm doing show. That became the first. And then from there, it kind of spiraled into another 20 or so I don't know what the heck I'm doing shows of complete insanity and rambling and and nonsensical nonsense.
Now, I came across your show, I think you had just finished 4 when we got introduced. And I've been listening ever since. And I went back. I remember, I think it was when you had released them, you said, oh, don't go back and listen to the first couple. Don't listen to them.
The first two. Yes. Those were horrible.
You know, that's the advice I always give people is, you know, do 4 or 5 shows before you tell people. Because when they hear that first one, you know, I think maybe I heard 4 or 5, whichever one it was the first one I heard, and it was good. It was really was. It was funny. I laughed quite a bit. If people had heard just the first one, who knows where you'd be today, you know?
I would be nowhere. And I hadn't discovered your show until after I think I had recorded the third one. You know, I wish that I would have known of you ahead of time and listened and taken your advice and the advice your other shows that you've interviewed have given and not bothered to post anywhere or tell anybody about the first two, because they were just flat out terrible.
What is it that made you want to do a podcast? Was it just from listening to all the other podcasts? Or were you one of those geeks like myself that called into radio stations when you were younger? And
I was like you. I was a total geek. My first year of college, I had to get up in the morning and go to class. And having never really had the need to be up early in the morning other than to go to high school, I discovered the world of morning talk radio shows. And Omaha has a really good one called the Todd and Tyler Show. These guys get away with stuff that I've never heard on the radio before. So being slightly weird, I kind of gravitated to them. And after listening for about a year, that was about the same time I started getting into doing HTML, doing web design. So I approached them with an email and said, hey, are you interested in me doing a website for you? And they said, sure, do whatever you want. So every day I would listen and jot down notes for their 5-hour show. And when I got home from work, I would type up a synopsis of what happened on the show. And that eventually turned into me getting a job with the radio station doing their website officially for the morning show. I did that for about 7 years. I wrote probably 1,300 pages on their show. More text than Homer, I believe.
So have you gotten any memorable email feedback on your show?
One of my first shows, I read a brief little letter that I had written to a person that I called Captain Ass Splatter.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, there's some sick, dirty guy at my work who has problems with his bottom half region, if you will. I know I'm trying to keep it family safe. So anyway, I wrote this open letter about how this guy needed to get his hiney fixed so he didn't mess up the bathroom. And from there, I got flooded with emails from people who had all sorts of poo-related work stories to share with me. Initially, it kind of was like, oh boy, what kind of can of worms did I open up here? But eventually that went away, and now I just get the standard, hey, I like your show, or hey, dude, you're messed up. Those sorts of emails. Nothing really memorable other than that initial onslaught of poo-related material.
Tell our listeners where to locate your website and podcast.
You can find me at thetwistedpickle.com. Don't forget the, because some jerk already has Twisted Pickle, and he's not willing to sell.
Is he using it?
No.
Oh, what a captain... Bladder.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you've pretty much made that domain name contaminated from this point forward, so.
Maybe he'll sell it to me cheap. You know, I also bought another one. I bought ninjacasting.com just a week or two ago, and the concept behind that is I would like to start a directory of fellow ninja casters. And this was spawned by an email from a listener named Logan. I don't remember his last name. Sorry, Logan. But he said that he was going on a golfing trip with some buddies. Thought about taking an iRiver or some recording device with him and just recording the BS that these guys were going to talk about while drinking and, you know, shooting 18. So I thought, you know, that's kind of a clever idea. And there's another guy out there doing a ninja cast called Black Hole Radio. And he's a dude like me with drastic social anxiety and performance issues when it comes to dealing with other humans. And I've been in contact with him for a while. You know, there might be a niche out there to fill. I know you've got, like, what, 42 directories on your directory of directories now?
Hey, if you want to put together a ninja casting directory, I will put a link to it.
I would love to. I just need to figure out the PHP and SQL. So if any of your brilliant listeners, and I know there are millions, want to offer a helping hand, send me an email, hit the website, and we'll hook up.
When you're doing your recording, you just got a new iRiver. Mm-hmm. So you're using the iRiver for your recording.
Most of the time.
Okay. What are you using on your editing on the software side?
I downloaded Audacity. I'm running a Windows machine. It's XP. A few people that I've talked to have been surprised that I'm running Audacity on a Windows platform. But other than one show, I've never had a problem with it. It garbled my number 16 show, and it was completely unlistenable.
It was the show out of time.
Yeah, it was insane. I don't know why it did. Well, I do know why it did it. It was because I was on Clip Hunter downloading porn during the MP3 encoding, but that's a different story.
Do you have a typical length that you're trying for each podcast?
When I first started, my first show was like 11 minutes, and it was horrible. And then by the time I got up to show number 6, the Drunken Scotch Night, where I told the story about the chicken hammer, before I knew it, I was over an hour. And I know in the podcast community right now, things are kind of going towards shorter shows and longer promos. I'm sure that's a familiar phrase to many of your listeners recently. So I've been trying to keep them from 20 to 40 minutes, closer to the 20 side. But Rob, when I start rambling, time flies. And the next thing I know, I'm up at a half hour and I'm tempted to not talk about stuff that I have in the notes. You know, it's definitely less than 40 minutes most of the time. And, you know, that's pretty good for a commute. Somebody wants to listen to me on their way to work. 20 to 40 minutes is probably going to get my show in on time.
How often are you trying to release shows?
I would do it every day for hours on end, but the situation does not allow for such things. So now that I have the iRiver, I'm a little more mobile, but the sound quality isn't where it is when I'm at the home station. I don't know. I would like to do it all the time, but right now I'm really lucky to get once a week. And with the iRiver, I'm hoping to get maybe twice a week. It really just depends. You know, things are hectic around here.
And finally, what advice would you like to offer out to someone who's looking at or currently doing a podcast and, you know, to help them out?
Start off by downloading everything in your archive. I've learned a lot from listening to the interviews that you've done with other shows. Your tutorial on ID3 tags was outstanding. Thank you, by the way, for using me as an example of what not to do.
Well, thank you for playing along with that.
Hey, it was really a big help. It was. And I've got some responses on thanks for fixing since you have coached me in the right direction.
I feel like the Johnny Appleseed of ID3 tags.
That's good to be, I suppose.
Anything else you'd like to say about the show while you have the mic?
Well, I'd just like to tell anybody who's thinking about it or anybody who's already doing a show, it seems to me that in order to gain notoriety and success and to really catch an audience, it's important to cross-promote. There's a lot of shows out there, and the number's increasing every day. And if you have the opportunity to befriend other people with like minds and similar interests who are doing shows, get in touch with them. Tell them that you like what they're doing. Try to share ideas. Try to work together. Form little coalitions, if you will, that will only be crushed by the 138. But seriously, make friends with the people out there who already know what they're doing, or people like me who have no stinking idea what they're doing. You know, let's expand the community and make things cool for everybody.
Excellent advice.
Cool.
It really is. Corby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, I appreciate it. I've been looking forward to this for an awful long time, and I'm glad to finally have ninja'd myself the opportunity to make it onto your show.
So the first ninja interview.
Yes, it is.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Corby from The Twisted Pickle. Highly recommend you check out his site at www.thetwistedpickle.com. And I'd like to thank Corby once again for coming on the show. If you out there would like to be on the show, please send an email and or promo in that email to podcast411@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you and getting you on the show. Coming up at the end of today's show, we're going to be playing a promo from the Freaks and Bitches podcast. And I hear Freaks and Bitches reminds me of that old joke, what's the difference between a slut and a bitch? A slut sleeps with everyone, a bitch sleeps with everyone but you. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Anyway, my poor attempt of humor, but I love that old joke. On the next show, our guest will be John from the M Show. Please tune in on Wednesday to listen to that. And I'm not even sure if tune in is the correct phrase to use. Download in on the next show to listen to John from the M Show. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Again, stick around for the promo at the end. As always, this is Rob reminding you to listen different with Podcast 411.
One freak to rule them all. One freak to find them. One freak to bring them all. And in the freakiness, bind them.
3-4 hours.
Let's get this straight. Everybody, the Dungeon Master, then there's the Production Bitch, Phil God, the Todster, and the Freak, okay? Everybody got that straight.
Okay. Phil, what companies should Playboy not try to do a Women of feature?
Waffle House.
No question at all. Oh, God. You know, I was feeling pretty professional, you know, before now. I thought we got through a whole show and we sound great. And then someone thought that that would be a good idea.
www.freakandbitches.com.